Hello, all of you wonderful people out there in broadcast land. Welcome to another riveting episode of Black and White Reviews. My name is Chuck.
My name is Will.
And Lee is not with us tonight. He is asleep.
Lee is.
He's out.
He's out like a. He is not happy today.
He's not a good man right now.
He's not doing good right now. He's okay. He's healthy. Everything is fine. Everybody's safe. But he has had a rough go. So he's taking the night off.
Today we are talking about the 2023 Netflix original, directed by Zack Snyder. Part one movie called Rebel Moon, A Child of Fire. Now, this is part one of two. Part two comes out in April. Before we get into it, what were your thoughts on this gem?
All right.
Rebel Moon.
So, yeah, you weren't here last week when Chuck and I did Rebel Moon, and I mean...
Yeah, I was dead tired.
Yeah, I know you were.
Yeah, I was
We made that announcement that you were alive and you were safe and you were healthy, but you were not in a good space, so that was that. But yeah, man, I mean, the video isn't edited or anything yet or ready to go, so I figured, hey, if you have any thoughts that you want to say about Rebel Moon...
So, I always... Whenever I watch a new movie that's trying to be its own original thing, I always compare it. I mean, same with music, too. I always do this music. Every time I'm, like, writing a song with a band, I always sit down. I always start making a joke and start playing the other song they sound like. Like, we had a song that sounded like Sunday Bloody Sunday. I mean, we were talking about U2 earlier. But it was a song that my buddy wrote. And every time we played it, we just started singing, I can't believe the news today. Because it was just like, how can you not hear Sunday Bloody Sunday? So watching this, I do know that there were talks, or it was mentioned, that this was originally supposed to be like a Star Wars, kind of a Star Wars story, like a spinoff about a Rebel Moon type idea. But then it changed, and then they just like adapted it to be its own story. Well, it's very clear that this could have been Star Wars if a few things were differently done. But what I got out of it were a few things. Star Wars... /Dune, Lord of the Rings, and Inglourious Bastards. That's how I would describe this movie.
Lord of the Rings and Inglourious Bastards?
Lord of the Rings in the sense of, like, you have this team that's building, you know, working towards, like, here's our mission, here's what we're doing, you've got my axe, you know, like, they were all kind of coming together in order to face, you know, whatever they were getting ready for, and they had this journey. Now, obviously, the story's not done. This was part one of... Maybe just two, maybe more. We don't really know. If they're gonna, is that guaranteed?
Yeah, it's supposed to be a two-part.
It's been confirmed. Okay. Well, either way, great setup, great start, better than Dune. No offense to Dune, but I definitely got a bit of Lord of the Rings in certain points. I can't really pick it out now. It's been weeks, you know, because I was planning on talking about it last week, but whatever. Inglourious Bastards. I mean, come on. The head guy there, he was very much like Christoph Waltz. Yeah, it was very Nazi-like, the way he's going around, the way that he's having that conversation with the dude. Hey, come with me, let's talk. And then you start to see a little bit more about how ruthless the dude is. Dune, very much, again, where you start seeing, like, weird, like, alien tentacles sucking on the dude's chest and stuff like that. Like, okay, it's very Dune-ish, very sci-fi, like, out there, different than what you would see in Star Wars, so that's where you get that element.
He was Neo.
I mean, honestly, okay, there's a Neo-ness to it. Oh, yeah, then later on when he's brought back to life, and then they totally, they Matrixed him.
Yeah.
That was straight up Neo. Absolutely.
Yes, when you said the tubes and everything coming out of him, I was like, this is straight
that was later
out of
on.
Matrix.
No, I'm talking about the first time we saw him and he had those, like, suck marks on him, and it was just, like, tentacles from an alien. And then later on, it was absolutely the Matrix.
Okay.
Like, I know that all of us, when we watched that, were like, this is the Matrix. Like, what, what's going on here?
Did you like the movie?
Did I like the movie? You know, at first, I'm kind of like, ugh. It was draggy. Like, I watched the first, like, 10 minutes, and I'm just, like, not really getting into it yet. I'm like, okay, like, show me more. And then, like, the next 3-4 days later, I watched, you know, more of it. And then I started kind of getting into, like, okay, where are they going? What are they doing here? And I'd say by the end, I'm like, I really liked where they went with it. I actually did enjoy it. I like that the I mean, obviously, this is we're past spoiler free. I like that the bad guy died, but then didn't die because he was like resurrected again. That he, you know, it was he got what he deserved, but then again, he came back, and I'm like, okay, you know, it was it was satisfying to see him get taken down.
I think it would have been but funnier if the guy that he was talking to was Keanu Reeves. And you could have really, like, hammered the having a conversation with the architect home a lot more than it did.
Right. Right. Yeah, I was going to look into, like, some of these actors because they looked familiar from other things, but I just... Who was the one who played... What was his name? Like, the bad guy, the one that he sees.
Oh, I don't know.
We didn't get that far.
We didn't really, like, go down that road. Just to give you a little heads up about how we felt about the movie. Yeah.
You guys hated it?
We did not like it. We went through that whole thing. And huh. I think the basic problem that I had was, and I'll let Chuck talk about this afterwards. The basic problem that I have is Marvel has ruined us because I want these elaborate backstories for all of these characters that they're introducing in rapid fire, and it's not happening. So by the end, it's like, why do I care? I don't know who any of these characters are. You give me 5-10 minutes with each one of them tops. They have a problem that they need to solve. There's a fight scene, and then Bob's your uncle, we're off. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, you're at the end. The movie's 2.5 hours, and it does not feel like 2.5 hours because of how fast everything was moving. And the ending, like the climax of the movie was so, what just happened? What just happened? How did we end up here already?
I felt that way too, but I was also watching it at 1.5 speed, so I thought it was just me.
I watched it, and I was like, is this the end?
Yeah.
Well, we knew that it was...
Because the fight happened. I'm like, there has to be more.
Well, that's why there's a part two. We knew this was a world building.
I mean, of this movie.
I think this first movie should have been split up into, like, at least two different parts and give each one of these characters a little bit more breathing room.
I agree.
I
definitely agree. I'm saying for what it was, I went into it with very low expectations. And when I first watched the beginning of it, I'm just like, ugh. You know, like, I saw what was happening here. It's very clear that she had a backstory. But she goes through everything like she's the fifth element. You know, like,
She is Gamora.
Okay. Yeah. Basically Gamora. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that guy who plays, I just lost it again. The bad guy.
The Nazi?
Blah, blah, blah. No, not the Nazi. The one that he's working for. Belisarius.
The architect.
So Belisarius, the reason why he looks familiar, he was actually, he was in Hawkeye.
Hot guy?
Hot guy? Yeah, he was Kazi in Hawkeye.
Okay.
So he was like, he was kind of a big deal in Hawkeye. But he was also Korfarak in Les Miserables, the one with Hugh Jackman. Not that that's a huge character, he was just kind of like...
Never saw it.
He was like... only reason I know who the character Korfarak is because I was in Jarvis, which was Korfarak's leader back in high school.
I don't even know the story. Any movie
you don't know the story?
Any movie that or book or play that's called basically The Miserables?
The Miserable Ones?
It just doesn't seem intriguing to me.
No, the story's... Okay, so in a nutshell, very quickly, the story is this dude gets arrested, Hugh Jackman. Actually...
No!
No. I will tell you...
Rebel Moon.
No. It's a really big deal. If you don't know Les Miserables,
tell me after. It's been around for 20 years and I've chosen
20 years? The story's been around for a really long time. More than 20 years.
With Hugh Jackman, it's been around for about 20 years and I've chosen to not watch it.
All right, so...
I plan on going the remainder of my life without watching it.
So the cast for the movie, you've got, like, Hugh Jackman.
I know.
Oh, no, sorry, Hans. She's in the other one with Liam Neeson. Hugh Jackman, you've got Anne Hathaway, you've got Sacha Baron Cohen, you've got Russell Crowe. You know, great cast. Basically, this is the review. Went to the movies with the wife. We saw this obscure movie I'd never heard of, some French foreign film. They must have been giving away free tickets because the lines were out the door. Anyway, the movie starts and Wolverine is singing his guts out. Then Catwoman shows up, so she starts crying and singing, and it's all very moving. The only problem was the girl next to me, who had apparently read the book or something, starts singing along. It was very distracting. So Wolverine's on the run from the Gladiator because Catwoman had a baby at Borat's house. But now she wants Wolverine to care for her. Time skip, a bunch of kids get shot, and in the end, everyone dies. 4 stars. That's Les Miserables. And it's not far off.
Is that
but
your
the story
review?
Itself... No.
Oh.
No, somebody I read it years ago and I'm like, it's not wrong. That's basically the movie.
Wouldn't know.
Yeah, you wouldn't know, but it's not a bad story. It's about redemption. This dude gets arrested for stealing a loaf of bread, and it's all about, like, there's the duty versus.
Yeah, please, sir, may I have some more?
No, that's Oliver Twist.
Again, don't care.
I know you don't care.
Don't care.
So
Will, do you care?
I'm intrigued.
The movie with Liam Neeson, dude. The movie with Liam Neeson and Jeffrey Rush is fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really.
And Hands, and she's in it.
Yeah.
Anyway, this dude plays a character in that. So
Rebel Moon.
So Charlie Hunnam, obviously, a lot of people know him from Sons of Anarchy. We think Pacific Rim. King Arthur. Yeah, he played Kai in this, who was just like a total jerk. Whatever. Yeah, it was interesting to see him in this. I know him first from Undeclared, which was like after Freaks and Geeks, which was a high school thing. Undeclared was like that was the next show that Judd Apatow did. And I loved that show. That show was fantastic. That was a show that I would come home and watch, like, I think like freshman year, I was watching that show.
So I was saying this last time. He reminds me a lot of Ryan Gosling.
I can't see that because I've known
I
him
think
for
Ryan
too
Gosling
long
would have fit this role better.
Okay.
I said that last time.
You think he would fit the role better?
I think my definition or my summation of Charlie Hunnam is this guy belongs in rom-coms and he belongs as like the guy that the bad boy that she needs to quickly figure out is the bad boy and needs to get away from. Like, that's Charlie Hunnam to me. That's Charlie Hunnam to me. Absolutely 100%.
I will say, the way the movie starts, right off the bat, you hear Anthony Hopkins' voice. I'm just like, can we just get anybody else to do it? Because his voice is way too distinct for us to not be like, is this Odin speaking? Because that's all I hear. It's all I hear. And then they make him a robot. And I'm like, I can't take that seriously either. It's just... Anthony Hopkins standing in front of a microphone making robot voice. Like,
yeah.
I can't unsee.
Well, I'm sorry,
Anthony Hopkins.
And you're sorry.
Yeah, we're all sorry here.
We're all very sorry.
I'm surprised. This movie was your idea, and you said it's a fun movie.
It's fun.
And then and now I'm like, you know what? I actually kind of liked it. And you're like, we hated it.
It was it's fun.
I'm interested in seeing where it goes.
I'm interested in seeing this train wreck and how it ends. That's what I'm interested in seeing.
Me too. Because the fact that it's a Zack Snyder film blows my mind.
It does not feel like a Zack Snyder film.
It does not feel like a Zack Snyder film. And on top of that, he asked to do a Star Wars spinoff. And they said no. So he's like, I'm going to do my own thing anyways. So he did this. And it's like...
Maybe no. Maybe no.
Yeah, like, take the advice next time when someone says don't do it. Just don't do it.
All right.
Or put a little bit more effort into it and then call it a day. You know, but that was it.
Zack Snyder's always kind of bugged me, like a lot of the stuff that he's done, except for the Snyder Cut of Justice League. That's the only thing that he's done that I'm like, you know what, that was really good.
300?
I didn't care for what
I did
saw
not. I didn't hate Watchmen.
Watchmen.
I didn't
like the
movie.
One scene in Watchmen. Outside of that, I was okay with it.
The one scene in Watchmen? Oh, the blue guy?
Yeah, him walking around, you know. Blah, 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 blah. No, but when they're in the ship and they have the whole sex scene, I wasn't a fan of, like, they don't need that in a comic book movie.
Sure.
But it was one of the first, it was DC's first rated R film, you know.
Okay.
And yeah, it is what it is. But
okay.
So...
I'm surprised this is a Zack Snyder film. It doesn't feel like a Snyder film.
It doesn't.
It does not feel like a Snyder film at all. It feels like, you know, a regular schmegula movie.
Right.
What's impressive to me at first note, the budget was $166 million, which is still a lot better. Still a lot better than a lot of things that Marvel did with $300 or $400+ million. And for a movie like this to look as good as it did, I think the movie looked fantastic. Yeah. So
it's got a lot of problems, though.
It's got a lot of problems. This movie, they tried to cram like five movies into one.
Yes.
Where every faction this woman, Sophia, goes to see should have been its own story. You know what I mean? Like she goes, like she puts together.
It should have been a lot longer than each of them took.
Yes, like you put together the ragtag group, and it's like each member of the group gets like 5 minutes of screen time, 5 minutes of backstory, you know, 5 minutes of a little action thing here and there, and Bob's your uncle. We're off to the races, and it's like, whoa, who is this character? Why do I care?
Right.
Marvel has ruined us because it's like now I expect this elaborate backstory for every character. But I know that that kind of storytelling, you know, aesthetic isn't sustainable at all. But at the same time, it's like you can spend a little more time with all of these characters that you're introducing instead of just rapid fire. The movie's 2.5 hours long. It doesn't feel like 2.5 hours. It feels like an hour and a half. But right. That's because you're introducing all of these characters and just like, here we go. And it's like, okay, well, now what? Well, now we're going to go take down the bad guy. Okay. And then they take down the bad guy and then that's it. But they don't. So it's like, what? Okay.
Right. And when they take down the bad guy, you don't expect that it's happening in that moment. You're like, oh, this
not
is the
at
end?
All. Not
like, this
at
is the
all.
End of the movie. I was watching it, and I was like, this is the end of the movie? What are you talking? Like, huh?
There was no build up to the climax of this movie at all. It came out of nowhere.
Nowhere. And that was the thing, too, is when I suggested this film, I was like, it's... My first watch through, I was like, it's fun.
It's fun.
And that's about it.
It's fun.
That's about it.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
That's about it.
Yeah.
That's all it's got. This right here, I would put, like, if you took Zack Snyder's stuff and you put it, like, on a scale, this is going to, like, on a scale of 1 to 10, this is going to be, like, a 3.5 to a 4 for me out of all of his stuff that he – the only thing that it really has going for you, like you said, is the visual effects. Visually, this movie is fantastic. And yeah. It has a couple good actors in it. Outside of that, the guy that they use for the bad guy, what's his name? Look it up here.
Ed Skaren? Skaren, yeah.
I can't stand him as the bad guy in this film.
Neither can
I. He's not good at all.
He was trying to be like...
menacing, and he's
he was
not.
Trying. He was trying. No, he wasn't just trying to be menacing. He was trying to be Nazi-esque menacing, and it doesn't work. It doesn't work at all.
Hitler-esque.
Very Hitler-esque. Yeah, very Hitler-esque, and it doesn't work.
What I want to know, we'll get into it more later. I can't even say it right now, but yeah, he's just it. I feel like
when you look at
I'm
the guy's
you.
Build, when you look at this guy's build, he doesn't look like he should be able to fight his way out of a paper bag. But yet he's commanding this grand army, and it doesn't fit at all.
Eyes are always like, it's like, open them. Open your eyes,
God.
Buddy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Your eyes.
That's one problem that I have. Another, okay, so, and again, this gets a little spoilery, and I'm going to say this right now. The lead character, this Kara, Kara, whatever her name is, the lead female in this role. Every fight scene she was in this movie had to be in slow motion, and I don't understand why. Like, every time she did something, she shoots a gun, slow motion. She swings a blade, slow motion. She does a fancy flip, it's in slow motion. She dances around a pole at the end of this movie, slow motion. Like, for what reason? I don't need to keep seeing this over and over again. I get it. She can fire a weapon. She's competent in combat. She can do acrobats and flips and everything else. I understand this character. Not everything has to be in slow motion. There's zero reason why the final fight scene in this movie had to be like half sped up, half slow motion, half regular speed, and it completely took me out of it. I hate this character. I could not stand her by the end of this movie. Why she's the one who goes around and puts everybody together and they all just follow her is ridiculous to me. And then you find out, like,
that story's not built.
Not at all. Not at all. She's doing nothing. And then she's like, I got to assemble an army. And then she assembles her army built on nothing. And then you find out at the end, oh, she's somebody important. Maybe put the part where she's somebody important at the beginning of this movie and give every character a reason to follow her because she's super important. Nope. Let's save it for the end. Let's save it for the reveal. It was so stupid. It was so stupid. Yeah. So... yeah.
So I will say I'll have to watch part two because I do want to see.
Yes, I want to see how this ends. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
I don't. Charlie Hunnam, who is like. He plays the blonde, like the love interest for a little bit in the film.
Yep.
He plays on. His accent was weird in this film. Yep. I don't understand his accent.
Neither do I.
There's two movies that I thought he did decent in. Like, there was a movie called King Arthur, Legend of the Sword, which was like an old medieval film, which he did pretty good in. Mm-hmm. He was Arthur. And then Pacific Rim.
Okay.
He was the main character. I loved Pacific Rim. Pacific Rim was like one of those... It was not a It didn't go into the theaters. It was like a TV movie. It was amazing. Have you ever seen Pacific Rim?
Once. It was all right. It was okay for what it was.
Oh, I loved it. It's okay. In the same genre of like the it's like Transformers meets like Godzilla, but you control the robots. It's like the ultimate Power Ranger Megazord type thing. But
I'm mostly
this movie. It was like. Even the twist that happens with him was like, it wasn't really twisty.
No, not really.
It was like,
not really.
It's like you could start you as soon as questions were throwing around. It's like this is what's going to happen,
Pretty much.
Then that's what happened. You're like,
I mostly,
everything was telegraphed. I didn't like that.
I mostly know him from Sons of Anarchy, which is it's an okay show for what it was and for what FX was trying to do at the time. It was an okay show. The show fell off a cliff. I'll say that. The first few seasons were fantastic, and then all of a sudden it nosedived out of nowhere for a lot of behind-the-scenes reasons, but I'm not going to get into that. And even on that show, Charlie Hunnam was the odd one out because Charlie Hunnam was the pretty boy on the show. And it kind of took you out of it a little bit. Like, it was to the point where it was unbelievable at times. I agree with you. As soon as this character was introduced in this movie, and I'm like, oh, he's gonna be the guy to do the thing.
Right, and here's okay. And here's the thing is, right now he's not a class A actor.
Nor
right
should now. He be.
I think if he was put in the right film, given the right opportunity, he could do well.
Yeah, yeah. You know,
with the films that he has right now, no. with his resume right now, he should not be. But if he was put into the right film,
he has
the potential of getting really, really big.
He would do good as the bad boy in a romance movie.
See, I would put him like he would do good in.
I think that's where he fits.
He
fits as the bad boy or the other guy in a romance movie that the girl got to wake up and realize he's no good. That's where he belongs.
I don't think that.
Yeah,
at
100%. That's what he does. That's who he is.
I would think that. What is? Why am I blanking on his name? Who that? What? Blade Runner 2049. What was the main character's name?
Ryan Gosling?
He could replace him if he was put into a movie like that. He was put in, like in Gray Man, that's a Netflix original. He would do good in that movie. I could see something like that. Ryan Gosling also does a lot of the pretty boy movies as well too.
Yeah, but Ryan Gosling can also do Blade Runner.
Now, but for the longest time, he was typecasted the same way this guy is.
Charlie Hunnam will never be in a Blade Runner movie. That's not, no. He doesn't, I'm sorry, I don't think he has the chops. I don't think he has the acting chops to ever do anything like that.
I think giving up, I think he could.
Look.
I don't think he'll be crazier, given the opportunity.
Crazier things have happened. I'll say that. Crazier things have happened. You know, I thought the same thing about Bryan Cranston for a long time before Breaking Bad happened. And then all of a sudden he became the greatest actor in the world. So you know what? Crazier things have happened. I'll give you
Leonardo
that.
Leonardo DiCaprio became a good actor after 20
wow.
years.
Wow. I will give you that. I don't see it. I don't see him.
And I
ever.
Think that's the thing is until we ever saw it happen, it would be hard to I just see it like Ryan Gosling is not a massive superstar actor.
No.
But this guy could be on that level. This Sophia Boutella, the main character who played Cora.
Yeah.
No idea who she is. No
Zero.
Idea where she came from.
Zero.
What I would have done is this kind of movie, if you reversed the roles and made him her and her him, it would have worked out better.
So she was in the remake of The Mummy. 2017, she was in Atomic
that was a
Blonde.
Horrible movie.
Yes, it was. She was in Atomic Blonde, which was another horrible movie. She was in
never saw it or heard of it.
She was in Kingsman back in 2014, which is an okay movie. I don't remember her in it though. So
I haven't watched any of those movies.
You don't need to.
I heard they're not like the best.
They're not. They're not. they're really not. They're really really not. I don't know. So. Yeah, oh my God, most of my problems with this movie, I've said. I thought the action pieces were actually pretty good. I thought the choreography in the movie was pretty good. I didn't really have any problem there. But then again, you know, with a lot of action movies, it's really hard to mess that up when you're doing action sequences. So I'm not surprised by that, especially when you take.
Well, there is one way to mess it up. Too many slow motion.
Well. In her case, yes. Everybody else, when the fighting is going, I will say this: the scenery, the way that the movie ended, was really really cool. It was
the ship blowing up.
Yeah,
and everything.
It was a bit.
Yeah,
it was a bit. You know, Revenge of the Sith. Like it was a.
Oh,
bit,
this movie
like,
is compared to
heavily,
Star Wars all over the place.
Yeah, especially when you have this one character in her who's running around with, you know, legit dueling
lightsabers.
Come on, what else are you supposed to think? I thought, you know, I thought all that was perfectly fine. I really don't have a whole lot of problems with the Star Wars references all over the place in this either. I wish the movie took its time to tell this story and make me more attached to a lot of these characters. It just didn't do it. Here's this character. We're done. We're moving off.
Right. This should have been a trilogy.
Yeah.
Not just a one and two and done.
Yeah.
It should be a trilogy. Each movie should be about 2 hours and 45.
The first.
And give it a good story.
The first act of this movie should have been a trilogy. Like, that's what it like this should be like a multi-part series. I have a nagging suspicion that this might have been like, you know, on the cutting room floor for like a TV show.
Like a miniseries.
You know, oh, exactly. A miniseries that like Netflix would have done. Like in each episode like you meet a new character and you move along. Like I could see that happening, and for whatever reason can't
this
happen that way.
Like
let's make it a
Brothers
movie
type deal.
Yeah,
like Band of Brothers, like a short mini series.
Yes.
Each one's like an hour and a half long.
Yes, yes.
5-6 episodes.
Yeah,
call it a day.
Yeah,
that would have been perfect.
I agree with that 100%. I agree with that.
That would have been perfect.
100%.
Well, if you're willing to get like fully into it now, I am.
Yeah, let's
too.
Go for it.
So
go
cool.
For it.
So for those listening or watching on YouTube right now, thank you for listening and watching on YouTube. Moving forward, the remainder of this video and our pretty faces will be on Patreon. You can find us at Black and White patreon.com/blackandwhitereviews. The audio will still be free on podcast as always. You can also find us on Instagram at Black and White Reviews 1866, and you can find us on Facebook at Black and White Reviews. So before we get into the rest of it, you were saying something. I want to let you finish saying what you were saying.
I'm completely moved on from that. I want to move into something else now. So rule number one of storytelling, if you introduce a gun in the first act, you use it by the third. They introduce this ridiculous triangle love story in the beginning of this movie that they completely abandon after she leaves the village. You know,
yes.
You got the guy that she's really into and they kind of get along. And then you got like the big burly guy that she's supposed to marry. And you think that's going to be going somewhere. And it's setting up like a conflict between these two guys. Oh, they're going to fight over the girl. Nope. Here come the people.
Goes nowhere.
Goes absolutely nowhere. Here comes the people in the spaceship. Chaos ensues. And she's off. And it's like, what happened to the plot that you just set up in the first 5 minutes of this movie? You set up this plot and you completely abandon it. I don't understand that at all. That is like that. I am shocked. I am shocked that Snyder's name is attached to this film with really poor storytelling like that. It doesn't match up. It doesn't fit. That was like the first.
Whoa,
that was
Zack
my
Snyder
first
helped
clue.
Write this too. That was Zack Snyder helped write this.
That's even worse. That was like
he's the first writer on.
That
this.
Was my first clue to how this movie was gonna go, and I immediately began to like pay attention because I was like, this is gonna be a train wreck if they're abandoning plot points in the first 10 minutes of this movie, and you're just completely...
It's bad.
This is going to be rough. This is going to be so rough. And then, I still don't... Oh, my God. So, Nazi boy comes, and he's looking for a group of rebels. And the answer is the farmers. Why?
No idea.
Why do you immediately go to the farmers? So you have people who are farming. That's what they do. They're peaceful. They have the hoe and everything else, and they're, you know, tilling the land, and they're drinking and they're making love and they're just happy and merry and they're living like it's the Middle Ages and everything is great. And then the people come from the Empire, and they're like, we are looking for the rebels, and you farmers are going to help. Why? For what reason? Why? It's so... Really?
So I'm gonna set this precedence right now. You're probably going to have a lot of those questions that my answer is going to be, I don't know. And the reason why I don't know is because the movie doesn't know.
No idea. The movie has no idea. Last week, we did The Book of Eli. And
yes.
Your big issue out of that movie was you wanted to know why these people were living the way that they were living, what happened, what was the event that caused all this, blah, blah, blah. I have the same problem here. I have a problem with that here. Why are they living as if it's the Middle Ages, but yet they have doors that are mechanized and lights over the beds like it's like they're living in 2001 A Space Odyssey? What's powering all this? What is happening? Why are they living like in an in-between thing? What is going on here? That was like my first thing. No answer, no reason, no explanation. Why are they there? Why would they choose this place? What happened to make them leave wherever their home was? Nothing. A lot of nothing. No answers. And it just... I feel. That's...
So you know what this... what's her name? Thanos' daughter. Gamora.
Gamora?
Is it Gamora? Gamora. So that's this story. Following Gamora. But in a different path. Because that's who she is.
The...
That's who she is. She's adopted by this guy.
Yeah.
Who is tyrannical and wants to take over everything, and then she escapes him and goes and tries to live a better lifestyle.
Yep.
That's Gamora.
Yeah.
Mixed with Star Wars. So, and I'm surprised that Zack Snyder, like, one of the reasons why I started watching this was because Zack Snyder's name was all over it.
Right.
And there was previews all over Facebook and Netflix for, they were like, they never promote a movie that's coming onto Netflix like they did this movie. They promoted it and promoted it and promoted it. And I looked at it and I was like, the trailer looked awesome.
Yeah.
And that's the best part of the entire movie is the
promo. The promo of this movie was amazing. I'll give Netflix all the credit in the world. They know how to promo their content. I'm not taking away from that, but woof.
It fell flat.
Yeah.
It fell flat big time.
Yeah. If I didn't already say it before, I'll say it now. This was not good.
It was a fun movie, but yeah, not
that's
good.
About it. That's about it. If you're looking for something that's mindless, and I mean that mindless, just like action and a very loose story tying everything together, this is the movie for you. Something to throw on in the background.
If you don't care about storytelling,
pretty much. So,
before we continue, because we've talked about, you know, Marvel killed it for us. We've gone into Star Wars. We've gone into Marvel. We've gone to this. Did you get the article I sent you guys this week?
Oh, the
from Screen Rant.
Yeah, I didn't read it though. If you want to go over it a little bit right now,
so I just wanted to talk about this. They're nuts. MCU is trying to do a whole reboot. So they started with Echo, and actually Echo has the feel of what Netflix's Daredevil had.
I'm not surprised.
It feels so much better.
Well, there were parts of Hawkeye and what's her name. There were
in the very
same
story.
There were parts of that when you got into the Kingpin Echo story where it felt like Daredevil. So I'm not surprised.
Right, but I'm saying like the feel that when we watched Daredevil on Netflix compared to when we watch MCU stuff on Disney Plus, there's a huge difference.
Mm-hmm.
This feels like Netflix original stuff, even though it's Disney Plus.
Okay.
It feels really, really good. It actually, when we watched Hawkeye, we went through that, and there's a whole fight, and he's actually the Ronin, and he's going around as Ronin. There's actually a fight that takes place in Hawkeye that actually takes place in this, and it just blends off from there. And remember how at the end of Hawkeye, how Fisk gets shot?
Yeah.
Yeah, this continues from there.
Oh, nice.
I can tell you what happens.
So he's
dead. I'm not going to tell you.
So he's dead. I assume he's dead because they shot him.
Off screen.
I'm kidding, obviously.
So what do you think?
Yeah, that's why I'm saying he's dead. So, okay.
So they did that. They're redoing Daredevil. They had it going one way. They're redoing it to give it a more reboot. But in the process of this reboot, they're talking about recasting Nick Fury and not using Samuel L. Jackson. Now, here are some of the people, I can find it real quick, that they are considering. using for this character. Let me find it real quick. While I'm looking for it, what are your thoughts on them even trying to replace Nick Fury, who the comic books created Nick Fury to off of Samuel L. Jackson?
I think it's a mistake. Like, It's like trying to find somebody else to play Wolverine that isn't Hugh Jackman. It's a mistake. It's an absolute mistake, and it's like some of the only characters that I can like attach something like that to. Like a lot of recasts and replacements, yeah, whatever, because they're whatever actors, and you know they're B or C list actors that you can kind of throw away.
Right.
Envisioning anybody else playing Nick Fury is ridiculous. That's laughable.
Yep.
That is absolutely laughable. And I would say the same thing about if they tried to recast Tony Stark because, you know, Robert Downey Jr. wants too much money. Well, we're just going to get rid of you. That would be a mistake. You know, whatever Deadpool 3 is going to be, they're being smart about it because they did not recast Wolverine. Like, it would be so stupid. It would be financial suicide if Marvel actually went ahead and recast Wolverine. It would be so dumb. So I'm assuming you have a couple of names.
Yeah, they have 10 actors who could play. They could play it. First is some guy I can't pronounce. Okay. He's number 10th.
Sure.
Adewel Akinwunmi. I can't pronounce his name. I'm not even going to try.
Sure.
Next. So, I've said this all along. When they try to change a character and he's in their base off or something like that, and they try to, and I've said this in the past, like, oh, when they're making, like Ariel in Little Mermaid black versus white because that's not.
Yeah.
They want to use Josh Duhamel.
Okay.
He's white.
Yeah, I know.
He's not going to fit the Nick Fury personification.
Not really.
Then you have Michael C. Hall, who is whiter than Josh Duhamel. This guy's not going to do it. Then you got Mark Wahlberg.
Michael C. Hall. So Dexter is now going to be Nick Fury.
He's another potential candidate to play Nick Fury in the reboot MCU.
Dexter.
Another one is Mark Wahlberg. Yeah, can you see that?
No,
I can't. Yahya Abdul-Mateen.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know.
Did he play Morpheus in the new?
I think that was him.
In the Matrix, that was him, right?
Yeah, that was him. Yeah.
No. Michael J. White.
Nope.
Scott Atkins. I don't know if you know who Scott Atkins is. He actually played in Wolverine. He played Mutant X.
Oh, okay. Okay.
He's a good martial artist.
Yep. Okay.
Number 3. So these are the top 10. We're going in from the top, from the 10th down to the number 1. Number 3 is Jamie Foxx. Not Jamie Foxx. I can't see him.
I can't see Jamie Foxx. No.
No.
No. Wow.
Okay. Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
That's what's his name from Walking Dead, right?
Yeah, the governor.
Yeah. No, it's not.
Yeah.
You're right, it is. That is him. The governor. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
No. What? Because of the eye patch?
Probably.
I'm guessing it's because of the eye patch.
Probably. And guess who you think their number one best suited person is to replace Samuel Jackson and Nick Fury.
Tom Cruise.
No.
Well, he was going to play Iron Man, so, you know.
Will Smith. I'll be honest. If I was going to choose anybody, Denzel Washington. Smith. Denzel Washington.
Maybe. Out of the list you gave, Will Smith is the most logical choice. But
out of that list, about all the actors out there, I wouldn't put any of them on there.
Neither would I.
Denzel Washington. Or better yet, because he's still alive, Samuel Jackson.
Yeah, this is all very true.
This is all very true.
I mean, the character was designed after him. So
I hope it's, I really hope that doesn't happen. That would be so stupid. That would be so stupid. Just kill the character off if you don't, if you want to, like, it's that simple. If you're going to move in a different direction, and for whatever reason, if Samuel L. Jackson decides that he's done, or, you know, Disney decides that they just want to part ways with Samuel L. Jackson, just kill the character off. Don't even use him. Yeah, find a new character to bring in and introduce as, like,
how many,
you know, the head
of
S.H.I.E.L.D.
Dozens of characters have we not tapped into yet that we could tap into?
True. Very, very true.
You can bring the X-Men in. You can bring Fantastic Four in. We can bring all of these characters in.
And I've been saying it. Marvel has shot themselves in the foot. The fact that there's no Reed Richards, no Xavier, and no Scott Summers is a problem. It's a big problem.
And no Doctor Doom.
True. That's true. Well, Doom, I can... Doom, well, Reed Richards and Doom kind of go hand in hand. So when I say that,
if you're gonna bring in Richards, you have to bring in Doctor Doom.
I mean as a leader. Reed Richards and Scott Summers are both prominent leaders within the MCU, like comic and cartoon lore. Like Reed Richards and Scott Summers, they're doing this. Like Reed Richards is the brain, and Scott Summers is the one who's on the ground doing the fighting with the soldiers and everything. Like the fact that they have not written either one of those characters into anything yet baffles me.
Well, they wrote Reed Richards in for about 10 seconds.
Kinda. Yeah. About 10 seconds, and then they killed him.
He killed him.
Thank you.
But I mean, they did allude to him in WonkaVision. WonkaVision.
I know.
Wow, WandaVision.
WonkaVision.
WonkaVision. WonkaVision. There's the new movie Wonka is out now, because it's like Willy Wonka and the Chocolate. I'm like, why are they doing a third movie of this? Like, stop redoing movies.
Because they work.
But
they make a lot of money.
I'm getting sick of it. Just do an original. I will say that at least this movie, Rebel Moon, is somewhat of an original. It's not, that's the one thing it has going. That's what interests me. That and Zack Snyder.
I will, you know what? You're right. That's a positive, I will say. Even though it is not the best movie, it's kind of bad, I will say that at least it's original.
Right.
At least it's something different. It's not the same thing. At least, you know, somebody out there is trying to go into a different direction or put a different spin on sci-fi. At least they're trying, which is more than what I can say for a lot of studios right now. So I will say that. I will put that out there and say that. But yeah.
I mean, Netflix is slowly stepping there. I mean, they are a fairly new, I mean, for a production company to get into movies, they usually do like TV shows.
True.
But they are stepping up their game in production. I mean, the visuals and the graphics in this film were really, really well done. The background scenery, all of it was great. Seeing the Saturn style planet.
Yeah, that was really
moon,
cool. That
how
was
close
really cool.
It was,
yeah.
Was super cool.
Yeah, that was really cool. I do want to get into a little bit of the story. Just
sure.
So you have Korra. And she's off to put her ragtag band of bandits together to go fight the big bad Nazis. Basically the story. And each one of these independent characters has their own set of issues in whatever circle that they're in that they have to overcome before they can actually go off and, like, fight. So the big problem that I have is, like, none of these are earned. For example, you get this General Titus character who's, like, What is he doing? He's like pit fighting or whatever like that. Like he's basically fighting for money or something. And they come across him. Oh my God, you're General Titus. You're a legend, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, don't call me General anymore. And then like he gets given this rah-rah speech and he stands up like he's about to do something. And then it's cut scene. And the next time you see him is at the end of the movie where he's like, this means something now. We brought down this ship and we're going to send a message to everybody else. And I'm like, I didn't see you do anything, dude. You stood up and barely did much, and then you got captured, you got freed, and now you're the one to give the rah-rah speech after you just got through telling everybody that you didn't want to be a general anymore. He stood up like he was going to do something and then barely did anything throughout this movie. Right. Oh, my God. It's just one example that I have, but that's like the running theme throughout this thing, is all of these subsequent characters that they introduced meant absolutely nothing in terms of the rest of the story. The sword woman
to build off of that, each character was introduced to something and they had to overcome it, and they all easily overcame it.
Easily. Very easily, yes.
Things that you should not be able to overcome.
Not really. I don't know. It just, the whole thing, the whole way that they built everything up really bothered me. And especially with that General Titus character, like for whatever reason, it really annoyed me. Him and I'm blanking on the woman's name, who was doing like the lightsaber sword fighting or whatever. Like,
yeah, Nemesis.
I thought she was going to be something, and she turned out to just be another throwaway character that's like, okay, why? Well, because we're here and let's fight. Like, oh,
right. I think that's my biggest thing, is the story is the biggest thing of this whole thing, is that there was no story.
Like, barely.
There was no story.
It was all
so
built.
You get all these characters, you get all these five or six characters that she goes and finds, and she's building this rebel group. So in a sense, it's like Star Wars.
Yeah.
You know, the rebels.
Yeah.
A little on the nose. But they're going after, and all of a sudden this flip happens, and what's his name? Charlie Hunnam. He's like, oh, he's not on there. He's, you know, he gives him up to the bad guy.
Yep.
And then they're all captured, and they're in. The devices that they have them in are actually pretty cool. I will say that.
Yes.
Their whole bodies are like, they're almost like laid down, but they're standing up. They can't move their arms. They can't move their legs. They can't move their head. And then he has this like device that like punches a needle or a spike through the back of your neck and out your mouth, basically. And
you know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of like the two-wheeler contraption they were wheeling Anthony Hopkins around in Silence of the Lambs and Hannibal. Like that's kind of what it reminded me of.
A dolly though, wasn't it?
Two-wheeler dolly, whatever you want to call it. Like, but that's kind of what it reminded me of. Like, he was strapped into that dolly, like rolling around in those movies. That's kind of what these devices reminded me of, which is kind of cool. I'm not going to say.
But they were automated.
Yes, they were. Yeah, they were automated. I thought that was kind of cool.
And this is where it was, is it's about to build up, and you're like, someone's going to die here. And then they immediately get free and take everybody out. And I'm like,
yes.
And then all of a sudden this big giant fight happens, and you're like, that was the end.
So here's, okay, there's one dude, and I can't remember any of these names, I apologize. There's one dude who's like the warrior. And he has like this massive shawl around his body while he's strapped into this device. They free him. He removes the shawl, and he has this massive gun that he starts just shooting everybody with. They didn't check him before they strapped him into this device. They strapped him in with his gun. That's the dumbest thing in the world. That like, it's so like, the one thing that I can't stand is really dumb villains. They strapped this guy in while he was packing heat, and it's like, okay, now he's free and he just starts blasting people. It was ridiculous. It was absolutely ridiculous.
The whole thing, well, even how they ended the film was ridiculous. Like it was such a like at the end of Revenge of the Sith, when Obi-Wan has the higher ground, and then you see Darth Vader being created after the fact.
Mm-hmm.
Like in this film, she beats him. She knocks him off of this, like.
Yes.
I don't know, whatever they're on.
Yep.
And he falls hundreds of feet to his.
It's a buoy that's suspended in the air.
Okay. It's a big giant buoy.
Yes.
And they have this fight, and he falls couple hundred feet and he dies. Well, then it cuts scene.
So
and
then they
he's
matrix
in his own
this.
Back to tank.
Then
and
they
he's,
make it's complete. He got the tubes going in and out of his body. It is
and he's
so
revived.
Matrix.
Here's what: if they're gonna revive him because he's the villain, great. Save it for part two.
Yes, absolutely.
Why absolutely. Did you revive him in part one?
I have no. So that you'll go see part two.
Well, not. Yeah,
this is what it goes into. This goes into the thing where I said it feels like it should have been a TV show because that's a season cliffhanger.
Right.
That would be a really good season cliffhanger for the end of a show. Like, oh my God, he's in the back of the tank. Oh my God, they got tubes coming in and out of him like Neo. Are they going to revive him? Cut scene and wait for next season. That's kind of feels like what it should have been, but they jumped the gun by reviving him in this movie, I thought. I don't know.
So
I have
did
no
I.
idea.
I was like, well, that's the thing is, you know, it was so this
but,
movie
but
has
it was so Matrix because they jack him in and he basically has a conversation with the architect. And then the architect
yes.
sends him back out into the world to, like, fix everything. And it's like, this is so Matrix.
Matrix. Well, this movie has three acts. The first
no, it doesn't.
Act is...
No, it doesn't. It has two acts. I'm sorry. It has the first act where they're introducing all of these characters, and then it jumps right into the battle. Everything no, that no. you just said about them being strapped into the devices and then all of a sudden battle, that's the third act, and we're done.
I know. but there are three acts. There's the first act where she's on the planet, and there's what you were talking about, the love triangle that happens.
Okay.
All of that happens on the planet. Planet is act one. Act two is them finding everybody. Act three is the big fight. Yet the each act should have been its own movie, though.
Yes, 100%. 100%.
And the second act should be the longest. You can even take part of act two and dip it into act one and have her go find a person in the middle
yeah.
of act one.
Yeah.
And it would have, you know, flowed really, really nice. Have each person like, I mean, the stakes were not high.
Nowhere near
at
it.
At all with these people.
Nowhere near it.
That she was, especially this guy who's like, if you don't train this thing how to obey me. I mean, that was pretty funny. The guy's like, okay, you have to break this like wild horse Pegasus type mm-hmm. creature. And you have to break him in or you have another 300 years with me.
Yep.
I can do it.
Yep.
Super easy.
Yep.
Super easy.
Yeah. Very Avatar.
The funniest part, yes. The funniest part is when he gets back and the guy jumps on him and the thing eats him. I
yes.
thought that was pretty.
That was hilarious.
I'm like, yes, he deserves that.
That big bird character should have been like his like companion.
For the rest of the movie.
Yes. 100%.
For the rest of the movie.
It should have been his companion for the rest of the movie. The bird should have been a part of the fight. Why was it not there? Like there, like you went through this whole thing. You showed this entire scene of this guy breaking in this massive like dinosaur bird like character. There's a bond now, and you just completely drop it. It's like the love triangle at the beginning of the movie that I complained about.
Dropped.
Why? And that was really interesting too. Like him breaking in this bird and then forming a bond, and you think, oh, that's really awesome. Oh, but they're going to go nowhere with it. Thanks a lot. Like, that's
nowhere.
Yeah.
Absolutely nowhere.
I can't.
And
I
that's
couldn't
the
agree
thing,
with you
too.
More.
So I went into this film with some, with like, not high hopes, but with higher hopes than I, because I'm thinking Zack Snyder. Mm-hmm. I saw the previews. I'm like, this looks pretty good.
Yes.
And I finished it, and I was like, "Yeah,
yeah,
eh,
yeah."
Here's my biggest issue: is this girl Cora? Granted, she is like a war hero over the years. I'm sorry, the dudes that are punching her in the face and punching her in the stomach and punching her here and kicking her there and doing all.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care. They're three times her size.
Yeah,
she's not getting up.
No.
She's not getting up
no.
from any of these fights.
Nope.
What would have been more realistic is if she dodged the punches because she's a good martial artist, but not that she got a fist the size of her head in her stomach and she walks away from it.
It's not just
no.
It's not just that the dudes who are punching her in the head are three times her size, and she handles them with relative ease. But she has a hard time with a guy that's 120 pounds soaking wet at the end of this movie. One guy. Who we didn't see fight throughout the entire film. The only thing we saw him do was kill a couple of people with a cane.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
I will go on the limb and say this. If you took these special effects and you put them in equilibrium, that movie would be 1,000 times better.
Yes, I will agree.
Equilibrium had a good story.
Kind of.
The special effects were better than this.
Better than this, yes, you're right. I'm not disagreeing with this, no.
There was a bunch of holes in Equilibrium, yeah. However.
It's better than this.
Better than this.
The story in Equilibrium is better than this, yes.
And if you took these special effects and... I would love to see someone like Zack Snyder with these special effects redo... I would love to see that movie redone.
That would
well.
Be cool. That would be really cool. I'd be on board with that. Sure.
Like, here's what it's like. Like, here's the Snyder cut of Equilibrium. Like, that would. And here's the thing. When you see things like the original Wonder Woman, 300, Justice League, the Snyder cut, all of these things that he did, and then you see this, you're like, what happened? Like,
I don't know.
I don't get it.
There's one more like minor problem that I had, and that's with some. Well, it's an action sequence, and it doesn't make any sense. They just did it because somebody probably thought it looked cool. Is at the end of the movie where they're having their big battle. There's a ship that's turning its gun and it's going to fire on all of the people below, and you have Warrior Guy who runs up the ramp and jumps onto the ship and tries to stab him through the window. He misses.
Yep.
He gets shot three times in the chest and does not fall. He hangs on to nothing. He hangs on to absolutely nothing. And he's still able to pull his spear out and stab him. Like, he's shot three times. You were stabbed by a guy who you just shot three times. It defied gravity. There's no way that this scene would happen in any other movie. Well,
on top of that, because the gunman died, it actually turned the entire ship and blew up.
Yes, because when he died, when the stabby stabby dude, when the warrior guy died, his body kind of fell in, and he knocked the shifter, and the ship came down. Like, that's wild. Okay.
It was way too easy.
Way too easy.
way too impractical,
too. It blew my mind. And then you finally have, like, the big showdown of Korra and the Admiral Nazi boy on the buoy, and they have their fight. Which was not earned at all. Not by her, not by him.
The fight itself was cool, but it was not earned.
The fight itself was cool, but it wasn't earned for a couple of different reasons. One, his character was not built up in this movie to be a fighter. His character in this movie was built up to be a general. The admiral that he is, in charge.
Tron.
Sending men to go fight the battle. Thrawn. Not the guy, you know, who's doing the fighting themselves. So the whole ending of this movie, I'm like, absolutely not. And to your point, we watched her get tossed around through this movie by dudes five times bigger than this scrawny little nothing. And she can't seem to, like, make an easy go at it. He's, like, on even playing field with her. And it blows my mind. Oh, my God.
But that's the thing is, I think that she should be on even. If she's as good as she is, making her on even playing field with him is one thing. Making her on even playing field with all these other dudes that are,
Yeah.
That's a totally different
Story.
Different.
I'm totally
sorry.
Different.
If I stood up to a guy that was their size, it would be either of us would be handled in a second.
Probably. Yeah, probably. Yeah.
No.
I
went in with this week with more expectations than I should have. I was drastically let down.
Yeah.
The special effects again were cool.
Yeah.
Also, like Cary Elwes was in this movie for like 4 minutes.
Was he?
Yeah.
I must have missed that.
Yeah, because he was in it for like 4 minutes. He was the king.
Oh yeah. You're right. Okay, now I remember him. I thought that was gonna be like a reveal. Like, who's the king? It must be somebody big. Oh my god, but it was just like a guy.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's just.
But no. Go ahead.
I feel like this movie was rushed.
Very much. 100%. Like, very much. Very
we have
much
to get
rushed.
Up before Christmas.
Yeah.
They should take their time on this movie. Yeah. And I think they should have split up into, you know, if there's another movie out, split up into six different hour and a half long and do a Band of Brothers miniseries type thing, and this would have been perfect.
That's what it feels like it should have been. You're right. It was rushed. It was rushed.
But
I don't wanna like harp on it too much, but it's like I said at least, you know, there are companies out there that are trying to do things original, and I'm happy for that. And I want it to keep coming. Even if the movie's bad, I want originality to come back. I want there to be a resurgence of originality.
A24 is killing it in
absolutely.
That.
I'll always be an advocate for that. But it's like there are certain parts of this movie that relied too heavily on, and I already said it, Avatar, Star Wars, Matrix. Way too much. Like, if you're going to do a resurrection at the end of this movie, do a resurrection. You don't have to have the tubes coming out of the guy and have him, you know, coming out of goop and have him having a conversation with, you know, the creator,
the source.
Or the source, or the architect, or whatever, at the end of this movie, the way that it did. Because now all I'm thinking is Neo, and this guy is no Keanu Reeves. So I laugh at it. But other than that, yeah, I think I'm done talking about this movie. But you know what?
You
opened up a door because we're doing part two. I just want to see.
Of course.
I just want to see how this ends. Maybe the second movie will be better. Maybe the second movie will be better. Maybe something will happen, you know, later on down the line.
I don't have high hopes. But
neither do I.
That's just me. But all right. So with that being said, thanks everyone for tuning in. Thanks for listening to us, for watching us, and have a great one.
Bye-bye, everybody.